It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're hearing now about how small businesses are coping in this time of economic fallout from the pandemic and recent violent protests over the death of George Floyd. In downtown Madison, walk along State Street and you see business after business with plywood covering their facades. The messages are about systemic racism. Are you a small business owner on a main street in Wisconsin? How have the pandemic and protests affected your business, your livelihood? Are you able to reopen? We're at 800-642-1234. Jason Ilstrup is president of the advocacy organization Downtown Madison, Inc. Jason, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Welcome, Kate. Thank you very much for having me.
Keith Stanley here as well, executive director of Near West Side Partners and Milwaukee's Business Improvement District Number 10, which works to revitalize Milwaukee's Near West Side businesses and neighborhoods. Keith, welcome to you.
Welcome. Good morning.
So, Keith, I'm going to start with you. How are businesses in the Near West Side area of Milwaukee? How are they doing right now?
Well, I would say we still see a lot of challenges for our restaurants and those that depend on like the summer activity. However, there is some silver lining with some of our businesses, some of our grocery stores and those who really provide staples for our community. We're starting to see an uptick in sales and increased product in those stores. So it's sweet and sour for some of our businesses at this time.
Well, can you give us a sense, if we haven't visited this area, what it's like on the Near West Side and, you know, what you see among these businesses? What do they sell?
So we have a wide range. We have over 370 businesses from the big guys like Harley Davidson, Molson Coors, Marquette University. But then we have the smaller folks or midsize, the Rave Eagles Club, Ambassador Hotel, Daddy's Soul Food Restaurant. And most of our businesses, you know, people say we're west of downtown. Some people sometimes confuse us with downtown, but we're west, just west of downtown. And many of our businesses are looking at ways just to continue with the promotion and still deal with the issues we deal with locally as far as how do we continue to open responsibly. We're not interested in being like what's happening down south. So they are aware, but still struggle.
What about the businesses that you characterize as the new West Side, businesses that are owned by people of color? How are they doing?
I'm glad you brought that up. That has been a focus for us. We are really making sure that they can survive this pandemic, this economic downturn. And so we've worked closely with some of the city and state officials to get funding for them. But it's been a struggle. I'll give you an example, Daddy's Soul Food Restaurant. They're still going to expand. I think we have an expansion date, but they were planning for a lot bigger affair this summer. And just with the sales as low as they are, they have not been able to do some things they wanted to do this summer. So a lot of our businesses, African-American, Hmong, Asian-owned businesses, they're struggling because the market isn't, it's a difficult time for our businesses.
Are they hanging on, even though they wanted to move forward with their business? Are they still open?
Yes. I have yet to see a business, thank God, close or say they're going to close. Many, we've had some businesses had to lay off 95% of their staff, workforce, just to survive. And so no one has yet said they're throwing in the towel, which is really good. Once again, it's a hard pill to swallow with what's happening across this country and world. But they're still hanging on in there, and that's a good sign.
Jason, take us to Madison. What is the situation like for small businesses on State Street and the Capitol Square?
Yeah, it's a very difficult situation. If you look at really the bedrock of any main street, and particularly what we consider to be Wisconsin's main street, State Street, you know, many of the bedrock and fundamentals of businesses that are on main streets are struggling, right? Tourism is struggling, retail, restaurants, events are not happening. You know, nationwide, 8 million people lost their jobs from COVID-19 in the hospitality sector. We've seen a 9% overall decline in retail in the last couple of months. It's the second largest decline in the history of the United States. Restaurant spending down 60%. And what makes it even harder for districts like Keith's and myself is that even though restaurant spending is down 60%, three out of every $4 spent in restaurants right now is spent in chains. And so these businesses that we work with, which are so much local, bedrocks of our community, really are struggling to make ends meet. And they're doing everything they can and being as creative as they can to keep their doors open. Many of them are in a mitigation phase right now to really stay open. Unfortunately, I wish I had the same news as Keith, but we've already had a few businesses on State Street that are announcing that they're not going to open back up once everything is through in COVID. So unfortunately, we lost a few and we suspect we're going to lose several more.
I would imagine, too, when they have plywood over their facades, you can't really see into the inside of the business. That must be also difficult as well, Jason, to attract customers.
And absolutely. It certainly is another challenge to the businesses downtown. It, you know, their bottom lines were so difficult to begin with. Just take a restaurant, right? Many of them, Madison has a pretty conservative COVID-19 policy, the forward Dane plan, which phases us in incrementally. And we're just starting to get into phase two, where you can open up the restaurants more. But all of a sudden, you have boards on your restaurant. That changes it significantly. So they're having to be much more creative about how they're outreaching towards their customer base. And then I will say there are some positives that are happening, particularly a program called the Streetery Program in Madison, where you use public space, either parking spaces, sidewalks, roads, even to open those up to businesses. And so they can, you know, seat restaurant seating out there, bring out their retail racks. It allows for a more safe and healthy environment for people to congregate, and really helps with one, I think, is one of the most key parts of COVID-19 is building back consumer confidence. So there are some silver linings, just as Keith mentioned, and one of those certainly in Madison is the Streetery program. And starting this weekend, State Street will be closed to motor vehicles from Friday to Sunday throughout the rest of the summer.
And so with State Street being closed, does that mean that these restaurants can spill out more into the street?
Exactly, exactly. And they can use that space to really social distance properly and really open up how many people they can have in their restaurants. Even the best restaurants we were talking to that really invested very significantly in delivery and takeout were still only making 25% of their normal revenue. And so you really do still need people coming in to the space. And we've already seen on this 100 block of South Pinckney, so right off the Capitol Square, great partners like Lucille, Murray, Settle Down Tavern, Johnny Delmonico's, and Marigold have opened up a space in 14 parking spots, and it's this beautiful outdoor dining space where everyone is at least 10 feet apart, and it really creates a confident situation for people to come back downtown and enjoy our center city.
We're talking with Jason Ilstra, president of Downtown Madison, Inc., Keith Stanley here as well, executive director of Milwaukee's Near West Side Partners, about the plight of small businesses. Now, what does your business need most right now? What can state and federal lawmakers do to help you stay in business? What do you want your local customers and community members to know about your situation? How is spillover seating being done at your establishment, or how are you spacing out? Join in at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Keith, how is your organization trying to assist businesses right now? How are you reaching out?
A couple of things. First, we've decided to put together, and this is really, we just have some great folks who love working with our businesses, but we put together a program called Made in the Near West Side, hashtag Made in the Near West Side. It's basically a virtual cooking course every Wednesday, either 4 o'clock or 5 o'clock, where we invite our restaurants and even some of our beverage makers to do some type of take and bake program where you can buy a meal kit, or you can buy the liquor or alcohol and try to make a drink or try to make a steak virtually at home. And it's been really successful. We've done this with Lisa K Catering, Daddy Soul Food Restaurant, Central Standard Distillery, 5 o'clock Steakhouse, even Moe's Asian Food Market. It's an Asian food market, and they put together a whole entire list of ingredients you can buy to have a fried tofu coke meal. And so we are doing that just really to use the social media and the social media platforms to encourage people to still engage our local businesses. And we're also encouraging people really to buy local when you can. And like I said earlier, it looks like there's been an uptick with some of our businesses because people want to stay away from the big box stores, and they're looking for ways just to buy local keep it simple. Instead of having thousands upon thousands of people, they're just dealing with their local community. And we're trying to encourage that buy local scene in the city of Milwaukee.
Jason, what echoes of buy local are you working on for DMI, Downtown Madison, Inc.?
Yeah, we're working directly with our partners at Madison Central Business Improvement District, a business improvement district just like Keith, to really say you need to come downtown and buy local. So whether or not that's marketing campaigns or something we just talked about, creating consumer confidence. So helping the local businesses downtown understand what opening up a safe and healthy store means. How can they ensure that the customers know that? So when they go into the Soap Opera or Anthology or Little Luxuries or any one of these great downtown Madison businesses, they feel safe and they feel like this is a place they can go and do their shopping, but all in a place where they're not going to be susceptible to getting COVID-19.
In the businesses that you have talked with, Jason, which ones have been said, you know, we can't do this anymore or we need to close? Is it specifically in the restaurant? Is it apparel? What sector?
Actually, unfortunately, it's been a mix of both. And it's been a mix of both both retail and restaurants. We're seeing that some people already was relatively soft. We're coming into 2019, or out of 2019 and into 2020. And so they're struggling now with the number of barriers and hurdles that are being placed in front of them. And so many of those businesses have said, we just cannot, unfortunately, continue on. We've luckily seen less than a half dozen, but we certainly think that several more will, because we don't know what the clear plan is moving forward for this virus, right? Nobody knows. And that uncertainty really creates problems for businesses, but particularly for local small businesses.
Talking with Jason Ilstrup in Madison, Keith Stanley in Milwaukee, both working on revitalization efforts, economic development in their respective cities. Are you worried that your downtown might never be the same? Do you have a favorite business that you worry will be unable to survive these difficult times? How are you supporting them right now? 800-642-1234. Back in a minute here on the Ideas Network. It's a morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're taking stock of how Wisconsin's downtown and Main Street businesses are doing after months of the pandemic and social unrest. Are you worried your downtown might never be the same? Are you an elected official or a developer concerned that the business community will have a tough road for recovery from the pandemic? What are you trying to do to give businesses a lifeline? Still time to talk. 800-642-1234. We have Jason Ilstrup, president of Downtown Madison, Inc., and Keith Stanley, executive director of Milwaukee's Near West Side Partners. Keith, let's talk more about business owners in the Near West Side who are immigrants, who are people of color. There was a study found that just 7% of U.S. businesses are owned by African Americans and only 4.3% are owned by Asians. Are businesses owned by people of color, are they struggling even more than their white counterparts?
Yes, and I would say it really boils down to this. The focus area is the resources. So many of our African-American-owned, Hmong-owned, Latinx-owned businesses don't have the tax accountant, the lawyer, the connections with the banking industry to do what they need to do to survive. So when we had a couple grants come out, state grants and city grants, we're all in grant and a few others, we scrambled to really go reach out to that that population and say, listen, you have to apply for these grants. This is money that will help you get through. And so we do a little more outreach and we do a little more handholding because they just don't have those connections. And so we're trying to figure out what ways we can do to improve that so they have the resources. But that is a major problem for many of our people of color business.
How established are these businesses and how much access to capital do they have?
Many of them are really first generation, just getting started, open up their first business. They've come through our business competition. We have the Rev Up business competition. We've been able to secure about over 30 businesses with that. And so many of our businesses are just really getting started. They've no more been open for no more than 5 years or less. And so they're not as established as some of the other mainline businesses we have in the Near West Side. I would say what going through this, I think, will make them stronger, will make them more resilient. Once again, a silver lining with all this, and I'm hoping that they will continue to do the things that they're doing, because many of our great businesses, and we want to continue to support them. They're hiring locally from the community. You know, they support things that are happening in the community, exactly what we need in the Near West Side, and I would say across this country.
Jason, how well represented are people of color among Madison's downtown businesses?
Yeah, we that is an area that needs to really grow and to become even stronger. We have to become a more inclusive downtown. Right now, about 62% of the State Street businesses are either owned by people of color or by women. But there are very few businesses that are owned by Black people, and that is a real issue for downtown Madison and for many downtowns across the country. You know, groups like DMI and other people that are in power have to do everything they can to identify, confront, and dismantle those structural and cultural barriers that really deprive any individual or business of having meaningful opportunities downtown. And that means that we really do need to look at the systems that are in place now, just as Keith said, about how do we allocate resources? How do we even make those resources available to businesses owned by people of color? That's a huge issue, as he just said. You know, there might have been language barriers. There might have been accounting barriers. There could have been the ability not even to get the information to apply for these such important grants, whether or not it's PPP, WDC funding, local funding. So we have to do everything we can to support our local businesses and businesses owned by people of color now more than ever. But that's going to take structural changes. And ensuring that we're helping with every part of the system and every part of that entrepreneurial pipeline to get businesses down there to support things like the Market Ready program here in Madison, where they take entrepreneurs from the ground up in businesses that could easily be in bricks and mortar locations in downtown Madison and really get them all of the knowledge and services they need to succeed as a business in infancy and then grow into something that can become a brick and mortar store.
We're looking at the Main Street health of businesses in Wisconsin, in Madison and Milwaukee in particular. Jason Ilstrup, president of Downtown Madison, Inc., DMI, and Keith Stanley, executive director of Milwaukee's Near West Side Partners. I want to ask you both, as we look at the protests in both Madison and Milwaukee that have led to property damage along State Street, Jason, and Madison, many storefronts were smashed during the protest. Tell us about what the mood is like among business owners on State Street right now.
Yeah, you know, so many of the business owners support the protests, and they were really encouraged to see what was happening, that this is potentially was a time for real change, real structural and institutional change. You know, however, though, they certainly received a high amount of property damage during some of the protest and the rioting. And about 100 to 125 of the 150 businesses on State Street received some sort of damage. And so they are really in kind of an apprehensive phase right now about what's going to happen next in the future. Things have calmed down very nicely in Madison over the last week or so. But because they don't know what the future looks like, they're still pretty apprehensive. And the businesses don't fully know when to, like we discussed earlier, take down their boards or fully open for business. Plus, you cannot discount, you know, the large part of this conversation in COVID-19. They don't know fully what their business looks like in a COVID-19 environment. And as we all know, the testing has gone up and the numbers seem to be going in a wrong direction. And so there's a lot of apprehension in many of the business owners throughout State Street and downtown.
Keith, there were protests on the Near West Side of Milwaukee as well. What was the impact in your district?
A couple of things I want to share. One, the majority of our protests, I don't think there were really one official protest that was not peaceful, which we really appreciate. We even had the opportunity to have some of the Bucks players join us on 27th in Wisconsin and 35th in Wisconsin. So it's really nice to see. Out of all the things that occurred in our city, we had about 5 buildings that were affected. And we're now working to make sure those buildings are the windows are cleaned up and the graffiti and everything is removed. Ultimately, we weren't as affected as some of the other bids in neighborhoods in the city of Milwaukee. I think that our businesses were really open to understanding the struggle and the plight specifically of African-American people. And it was really heartwarming to see many of our businesses stand with the protesters. We even had some of our larger anchor institutions, Advocate Aurora Health, Marquette University, really stand in support. And so that was really heartwarming. I think it is a challenge for many of our businesses because many, you know, they're, like I said earlier, they're smaller businesses trying to get their footholds on the ground and they struggle. And so when things like this happen where people can't shop, can't buy, or there's property damage, you know, of course, if they're a small business, they're concerned. But for the most part, most of our businesses have been open to getting the help they need to clean up some of the damage that occurred. But ultimately, we weren't affected like other communities in the city of Milwaukee.
Keith, you know, as Jason said, the numbers going in the wrong direction and businesses really trying to negotiate such a challenging, tricky time about reopening and how to go about it. What gives you hope?
I would say this is going to sound really, really crazy, so hope everyone can go with me. But I mean, if you look at the Great Depression, that's McDonald's was birthed in the vacuum cleaner and Monopoly was birthed out of the Great Depression in the late 1920s. And I just think this is the time where we encourage our businesses to think outside the box. Online sales is going through the roof, as we can see with groups like Amazon and others. And so we're working with our businesses to figure out what ways can you position yourself where people can still get your goods and services, but not necessarily through your store. Jason mentioned about earlier about opening up the streets. That's something we're exploring. We have a couple green lots that we're going to, vacant green lots we're exploring to get people outside for more space. I think this is the time when thinking outside the box, no matter how cliche it sounds, being creative is really important. So we're trying to encourage our businesses, don't think traditionally. So It encourages me that when we hear our businesses are thinking outside the box, that gives me hope.
Well, thank you both for joining us. Jason Ilstrup, president of the advocacy organization Downtown Madison, Inc. Keith Stanley, executive director of Near West Side Partners and Milwaukee's Business Improvement District Number 10. Just ahead, it is On Point. Who should Joe Biden select as his running mate? It's an assessment of his short list of candidates. That's On Point. I'm Kate Archer Kent. This is The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.